You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the mystical realm. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, gifted souls step up to the mic sharing their spiritual journey. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their awakening, creating a symphony of enlightenment. This isn't just another interview show. This is where divine insights are channeled and universal truths are revealed. So crank up your stereo and sit back, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next transformative chapter of your soul's purpose. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and I am so happy y'all decided to join us. I'm sure you've all seen television shows or movies about angels. Touched by an Angel, Angels in the Outfield, that's a good one. Charmed, City of Angels, another good movie. Angels in America, that series about all the different angels, and we have an angel here that is in America. And who could forget Michael with John Travolta? It just so happens that our guest today channels Archangel Michael. She also channels Haniel, Azrael, and no, that's not Gargamel's cat, Jesus, and a whole lot more. We have Miss Heather Sprigg as our guest today. Welcome, Heather.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for making the time. I know you have a crazy schedule, so I do appreciate it. And so do our guests, by the way. So what I'd like to do is have you tell everyone about yourself a little bit.
Okay. I had my spiritual awakening in 2014. Had never had anxiety before that I knew of. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, when I'm planning. So it was in November, I think. So I'm planning, you know, pumpkin bread, Christmas cookies, and all that with the boys. Right. My boys were little at the time. They're big now, but they were little at the time. And all of a sudden I got this anxiety and I couldn't focus on anything. It just was so bad. And it just kept getting worse and worse after that. It got to the point where I couldn't leave the house. And Their school, it's a private school, so they didn't have a bus system. It was parents had to take the kids. So their school was like a mile down the road. And my husband worked 20 minutes away. He would take him to school in the morning, and then he would have to drive back, like to pick him up at 3:20 every day, 20 minutes to pick him back, drive him a mile home to me, and then go back to work for a few hours. Because I could not leave the house to drive a mile to pick up my kids. It just got worse and worse and worse. And then in January, and I was going to college at the time, and I thought about quitting school. I was doing it online, luckily, and it was just worse. So I went to the doctor's office, and she prescribed Klonopin, which for me was for anxiety. I was supposed to take like one or two pills a day. By April, I was taking like four, and I still wasn't able to leave the house or do anything or be a mom. It was pretty bad.
Yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes. So before this, or maybe it was during, I know that you have a law enforcement background, law enforcement family type of thing.
Yeah, both my parents are law enforcement, and uncles, cousins, and everything. And
all in the family.
All in the family. Yeah. Blood runs blue. Yeah. And then to put my own touch on it, because my dad always made me promise I would never be a cop. He didn't want that for me. So I was like, okay, so I'll go be a prosecutor. And so I went to school for criminology and criminal justice, and then I got certified in criminal behavior and advanced crime mapping. And that's what I was going to do. I was going to use my gifts as a lawyer, and that didn't work out though. The angels had other plans for me.
There you go. Well, you know what? And I'm kind of glad that happened that way, you know, for everybody else, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you explain what some of your gifts are?
Well, my gifts are, I'm a medium. I used to do spirit mediumship, where, you know, you talk to people's loved ones who had crossed over. But now I just channel and do angel mediumship. I just channel and talk to angels. So the angels I'm contracted to work with on the other side are Archangels Michael, Azrael, Haniel, Gabriel, Raphael, Metatron, and then Jesus, Mother Mary, and God. I channel them. Oh, and then a seraphim called Faith, who is my higher self. And those are the only ones I really channel. And I find that people who work with those, either ascended masters or angels, are drawn to me. So I can talk to them about it and give the messages from their angels and connect them to their angels. And people who are drawn to working with or contracted to work with other angels that I don't work with, like I don't do spirit guides or other angels like that. I don't talk like Uriel and Zadkiel. There's nothing wrong with them, of course. They just, we didn't contract together. And
people second are drawn class to angels.
Yes.
Second tier two angels. No, I'm teasing.
So people who are, they're usually drawn to other people who channel and work with them. Oh, and I forgot, I'm being told that I forgot to mention Archangel Ariel. I work with her. She's like, you didn't say me.
Okay. So that's interesting. Well, why don't you tell me this? What's it like being able to communicate with angels?
For me, it's just everyday life. There are always, I partially merged with Archangel Michael. That was something we did for the work we do and what I came here to do. And so he's always in my mind, always. Like you can ask me a question, and if I pause for a second and can't think of an answer, he's just going to answer. So he's always there. And so channeling for me has gotten to the point where it's you can't really always tell I'm channeling. It just seems like I'm just talking. And you've known me back when I used to channel different, and then I think you've seen it evolve
yes,
a little bit.
Absolutely, because it used to be a more obvious physical manifestations. I guess I should say more obvious physical manifestations would surface.
Yeah.
You used to close your eyes and you would rock a little bit. And then I could always tell because your head would turn a little bit and your mouth would change, like how you would speak, how it would look when you spoke. So yeah, it really has evolved, because in a little peek behind the curtain, I've known Heather for a couple of years now and have had an opportunity to have some sessions with her through the different organizations that we're involved with. And it's really been a wonderful thing. And I know that you said Ariel was speaking with you. Is anybody else trying to channel through you right now?
Not at the moment, but I forgot to say Pat. Pat's another angel that I do channel now, since Pat Longo, my mentor and teacher, passed away June 28th of 2025. She was an incarnated angel, and so when she channels through me now too, so she is one.
Yeah, she was definitely somebody that I would consider an angel walking on earth. Much like yourself. So what's an angel signature and how do they come across?
Angel signatures are, because my background in criminology and criminal behavior, I don't trust very much. So I have, you know, like the stranger danger thing. I want to know who I'm channeling at all times. And before I give the messages or before I let them into my body, like there's different layers mm-hmm. of channeling that I do, like, well, automatic writings channeling as well. But and you don't really need too much stranger danger for that, because they're working through the pen, skimming off the mm-hmm. chalk until they talk. The angels tell me there's like a level one, which is like claircognizance. When you get going, it's like, you know, like when you give somebody really good advice and you're just as surprised as they are what came out of your mouth. And yes. they're you're like, yeah, I did good. You pat yourself on the back, you know. That was channeled. And yeah. The angels say that's channeling, and which is of course a form of mediumship. And then there's what I call level two, which is deeper. They kind of they skim off the top more, but they don't fully enter your body. And when I do that, it used to be noticeable because I start talking faster and use my hands. Angel mm-hmm. energy comes in fast. And then there's the level three where they fully enter your body. And that's what you want to be concerned about. Even angels, every entity leaves a residue. And you want to make sure you know they're going to actually leave when they tell you they left or when you ask them to leave.
You know, what's up with sneaky angels? You would think, yeah, I'm not here. Don't pay any attention to that. That's just strange to consider.
But you know, like you can have dark entities tell you they're an angel.
Okay.
I'm not worried about the actual angels.
Yeah, I was just like, oh. You're like,
Azrael's not leaving.
Do we have something to worry about here?
But you know, entities that say they're angels or dark entities, and they will say that just to get in. Then you give them permission. And you're giving messages, but you're not giving messages from an angel. But energy doesn't lie. It's kind of like fingerprints. It's unique to you. So I only allow, you know, the angels, Jesus, Mother Mary, and God to enter my body and talk to me. Everybody else can talk to me through like regular mediumship, you know. But angel signatures is I came up with a way to learn their energy. So Archangel Michael, I feel right here. Jesus, I feel through here, Metatron through here, Azrael here, it's different spots. So when they want to talk to me, they light up their spot. And if they want to channel through me, I allow them because I recognize that energy.
What does light up your spot mean?
Yeah, I have to have their energy signature before I let them in me.
No, but what does that mean? Do you feel heat or tingling?
For me,
or?
I feel like pressure.
Like
pressure or tingling. If I am really, really want validation, I'll ask him, come on strong. And Archangel Michael has burnt me before, like the come on strong. And I will actually have him say, hey, I want to validate this question, have no over here, yes over here. And I have no feeling on this side of my face because my tumor last year, so my nerves were cut and everything. But the angels can give me feeling temporarily on this face. On this side of the face.
On my face.
So the angels can do that. Like Michael can light up over here, Jesus over here, and I have feeling where I normally be touched. It's all numb, but except for when the angels light it up.
Wow.
Cool. I know who's entering and not entering. Because I've actually had a lot of people, channels, who will tell me, oh yeah, I channel angels. And then they'll want to give me a message. And they'll channel, it's not an angel. I am, you're really connected to them because, you know, it's my first incarnation. Because the type of angel I am, we don't incarnate normally. And I incarnated here because this point, because I have no trauma and karma from past lives. So I'm a clear vessel for them to enter. And that was part of what I was made for when I came here was for them to be able to enter me and take over and talk through me clearly, like a clear channel. So I know when it's not an angel and, and I know when, so there's a lot of people out there thinking they're talking to angels and they're not, they're giving messages that, you know, when it come from an angel, either they give too much free will answers or they're negative answers.
Interesting. A quick question here for you. Do you have FOMO from not having the other past lives that everyone else talks about?
Yes. When they first told me that, I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Because everybody has this cool past lives. And now that I do regressions, I mean, your past lives, I won't give it away, but everybody has such cool past lives. And I'm like, you know, people will take me back. Like a
my suicide one wasn't that cool.
Yeah, that one was cool. Well, I'm opposed to that one. But, oh, and then, or they'll say, oh yeah, I remember like you with Joan of Arc and everything. I think you were Joan of Arc. I'm like, cool. And they're like, oh, wait, no, you were the angel watching over her. And I'm like, oh, or when my memories are all, cause I have a lot of my memories back from heaven and from being on earth as an angel. Those memories are all in me in angel form where nobody can see me. You know, some people can who are gifted, like children would be able to see me, but. Sure. Yeah, no past lives or anything to talk about, which is why I act, Pat lovingly used to say immature, or I prefer naive, because everything's new to me. I'm not, I guess, jaded yet. And the angels gave me the example, like you have a new police officer and they get on the force and they're like, we can save everybody. We can fix everything. And then you have your new, you're a seasoned cop and they still want to help people. And save people, but they know that you can't fix
everybody.
Yeah,
right.
And so a lot of angels who incarnate more, they have that attitude more. And I haven't another one angel being their first time incarnation yet. So far, I'm the only one with FOMO that I know.
You think that you might even send out that signal type of thing, like a sonar, you know, from a communication perspective that. At some point, I've got to think that at some point in time, you'll meet somebody else that's their first time around in an earthly vessel.
I won't, actually. I'm told that there's only a handful of us on Earth and we're not meant to meet. So,
is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
so, yeah, I guess I'll just have to live through. And here, you know, here I do past life regression, so I get to live through everybody else's past lives.
Which has got to be cool. I mean, that's
it really is cool, so cool. But then I'm always like, man, I wish I had that history, you know? So,
yeah. Well, yours might be slightly better than most, I would think. But so I heard you can take a look at souls. What does that mean? Yeah.
So one of my my main job on the other side as a seraphim is I create souls and I cleanse them and clear them. So when God wants to create new souls for a new purpose or a new place, a new planet that he's doing or it needs to populate or seed, a lot of times the seraphim help build the souls. So I create, that's my job. I help create the souls. God delegates. And so I create souls. And so because of that, I'm allowed to remember a lot of my time in heaven. I can do that here now through the fourth dimension. I can see energy different. I can work on people's souls. I can clear it now. I can remove trauma from them. If trauma's new, I'll see it like before it's anchored, in their soul. I can just pull it out before it sets. And then they don't have to carry it on to a past life or deal with it this life, but I have to catch it before it takes root. So I can do that. I also do, because I create souls, can do like angel of death stuff. And that's not something.
Yeah. So you beat me to one of my questions. You beat me to it because I knew. Your angel of death.
I prefer angel creation, but I think they're the same thing.
Interchangeable. Tomato, tomato. So I'm going to put you on the spot here for a moment. Can you see my soul?
Let me look. Yes.
What do you see?
Your soul. You mind if I take it out for a sec? I mean, you're still connected to a cord, so I can feel it.
Yeah, do whatever.
Okay, just a sec. Okay, so the color of it is, I should probably explain what the colors mean. Okay, I'll go with yours first. It's like a murky, kind of like a darker yellow in most spots, but there are some light yellow. It's shaped a little rough around the edges.
Like me. Yeah, that makes sense.
And there are some darker, like, brown spots, but not a lot. And what that tells me is there was a lot of trauma carried over from past lives, and you've had a really hard, or you've had a hard life this life as well, because it changes the color. And then the dark spots are like trauma. There's trauma there. And the shape of it is when things get rough, when there's trauma in the shape, because normally I'll see it like perfectly round. And well, when babies first enter, it's white. It's like clear white. And then blue is really good. Like a blue, I see it like a sparkly blue, when I like sparkles. So they show me everything with sparkles, like a light blue. Cool. And then it goes like a darker blue. And then a yellow is also really good. A bright yellow. That's what most people's are, because like past lives, and they've had a lot from this life. Darker yellow, you know, some trauma buildup, some brown spots, massive trauma. Have happened. I saw a soul recently with that had a dark rim around it and the inside. And I've never seen one that like that before. That was really bad. And when I went in and touched it, they picked up some really bad energy somewhere, really bad energy. So I had to like clear that. And I can clear parts of it at a time. I can't do too much, otherwise it will impact the soul. But I can go in and I can kind of like scrub it clean. Like for yours, what I would do, I can do that later, is I would remove a bunch of the brown spots that I'm allowed, see if I can fade them and get you back to a light yellow and smooth out the edges as much as I could, then go back in. I would also put my hand in your soul and see if I could feel where the trauma was, and tell you what the trauma is, what those spots are from, and see if I'm able to remove them. Sometimes they will let me remove them, and then you, because you don't need them going forward with the ascension that's going on, and we need our light bodies, our crystalline bodies, where we have stuff in our body, blockages, the light grid goes around, including with, you know, our soul. Our soul is kind of like showing what's in also around our physical body and energy fields. I see it mimicked in the soul a lot. So if I can pull some of those out, it will also pull out of your physical body as well, so the light can go through. And I would, if you want, I would go deeper and see if there's any that haven't taken root that I could pull out as well. And I can, what happens is when I pull it out, it cuts the karma cord too. If there's karma, I can do karma cord and the trauma cord. So it's just like you released it. It's like an instant release.
Wow.
So that's, I can do that. And they taught me that. And Pat, oh, I loved her so much. She's like a grandma to me. She taught me to cook, to do past life regressions. Cool. And she was always wanting to be my guinea pig. Energy signatures practiced on her. Soul stuff practiced on her. She's like,
that's wonderful.
She's like, what's my soul look like? And I'm like, do you want me to look? And she goes, yeah. So I drew her a picture. And then as she got sicker, her soul changed the color. And I could tell it was harder for me to get it as clear as I wanted to. Because, you know, she, for anybody who doesn't know, Pat passed away from pancreatic cancer. And it had spread, and the closer she got to the end, the harder it was for me to clear, because it was just all that illness. It was, it affects the soul too. So she, and I can put the soul back. When people's soul is starting to leave, I see it coming out. I can shove it back in and give them like to the end of their exit point, or if I get an override, permission to override, give them more time. Pat told me, she made me promise that whenever I worked on her, and I worked on her every 3 days, that I would put her soul back every time. And I promised her that. And I did. I kept my word and put it back every time. She goes, I don't want you releasing it. I want you to put it back. And so I put it back every time.
Well, that's something.
I gave her, more time though, because I caught it a few times leaving, and I'm like, oh heck no, and I
shoved it
back in. And but that kind of goes back to the releasing of the souls. As an angel of death or angel of creation, I can go in there, and it's like if somebody is having trouble passing, or let's say that they're hanging on, but it's time, but the soul does not want to leave. I can release the soul. That means I can help get the soul started in the release process.
Crossover. Is that the crossing over of a soul?
Yeah. Though? But I just started. I make it easier, because sometimes they're afraid to let go. And
It's understandable.
Yeah. And, you know, Jesus, Archangel Michael's there with me. They used to be there all the time with me in Azrael when I did it, but now they're just kind of in the background. Because I used to say no. They would tell me, release the soul. And I'd be like, yeah, no. I'm not going to do that because it's hard when it's children and stuff. When I go in and somebody, or I'll see somebody and they'll be like, go in there, do it. And the reason, and I'd be like, you guys do it. And yeah, they would tell me,
you do it.
Yeah, they said, you know, that's free will. There's stuff that they can do, that we can do incarnated in a human body that they can't do. So they have to use us because of the rules are different. So they use me for that. And when I release the soul, I make it so it's a peaceful transition. I code it and, you know, like angelic energy. So when the soul does leave and cross over, normally you don't get your memories back until halfway through the light. They get it back right away because they cross through that angelic barrier when I start to release. And it's a very peaceful feeling. So they feel that energy of heaven and the angels right away. So there's no confusion. Because when a soul leaves the body, they're just a soul without a body. They don't have their memories back yet. But this makes it peaceful. They don't stay behind. It's not traumatic. And so there's a lot of benefits to the soul. And if the angels know, then it might be traumatic or they don't want to leave, they'll have me do it. So I released a soul. And so far, for every single time, the person passes within 3 days of me releasing the soul every time.
Isn't that something that the number three is so important in things? You know, because Jesus coming back to life 3 days. And then that's so interesting to me.
Yeah. And like, well, I've had friends like ask me, hey, my grandmother, she's ready to go. She wants to go, but she just can't or isn't, or, so I'll do that for them, but it's not a service I offer because I don't enjoy doing it.
You don't want to put that on your website.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
Additional services. Angel of death.
I'm also told that, when I'm ready, I can, I don't want to get too woo-woo here, but, you know, there's soulless vessels out there created, or when the soul leaves, the dark steps in.
Sure.
Or they hijack it. I can remove those souls instantly, but I haven't done that yet.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
I'll have to keep my eye out and pass a name along to you covertly if I run across. You might want to take care of this person. No, I wouldn't do that. Just kidding.
You know, there's going to be a lot of people watching this thinking that we're both nuts. Me for what I say and you for being my friend.
Well, they might not be wrong about me, but but you, you're the real deal. So I'll
take that. They're going to see it one day. They've told me that when mankind's ready, there's going to be something's going to change on me. And I just really hope I don't look funny, but something's going to change on me that is going to be physical proof, during a live event or something, and that people can't deny. And then it will be passed around and stuff, but they help bring faith back to mankind. I don't know what they're going to do to me, but there is going to be proof.
Wings would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be pretty freaking awesome. I think that you'd have a lot of people exiting the room that you were in if that were to occur, because that I'd just be sitting there, where's my camera? I want to take a picture of this.
Well, hey, maybe you and I, if we go on tour next fall, it'll be when we're on stage together.
You know, it's funny that I was thinking that it would be during a book tour that something miraculous occurs for you.
It won't be for this book, but maybe it'll be the next one.
Ah, okay.
Because have you mentioned that you're writing one to people?
I have brought that up. I've definitely brought that
up. I mean, your second one, because you have a second one. We both have a second one that we need to do.
No, I haven't, because the first one isn't completed yet. So,
well, you know, that's normal for them to give them, to give us like stuff. Really normal for them to start giving you stuff lined up. You're going to do this, because the time is now and they want that information out.
Yeah.
So having a backlog is normal.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I'm not alone. I do have one brief question. Then I have two more questions that are unrelated to this. You had mentioned ascending. What were you referring to?
Oh, this is a really, really special time in history of Earth. It's like, so as the frequency raises, the veil thins around us, because as the frequency raises, ours raise as well. And the higher vibrations we have, the veil that prevents us from seeing into other dimensions, clean heaven. I mean, it's all around us. We just can't see it. It thins, and we can see more and experience more. So it's a frequency thing. And as that happens, more people are coming into their gifts. But one thing that, you know, the dark, which the angels call the suppressors, they are working against that. And so we're trying to ascend and raise ours, but they're trying to keep us low. And so basically, I mean, raising the frequency in our light bodies that are happening, we're being changed to like a kind of a crystalline form and light bodies from what our bodies of now. And that's going to allow us to hold more light. And we've been in a 2-year accelerated program where they've been on the spring and the fall solstice, they kind of like shake stuff, trauma loose. For us to release, because I see trauma as like little marbles in people, and where the trauma marbles are, light can't, you know, the grid has to go around, you know, it can't fill our body. And as we start to release those, they expand, and right before they get, they release, they take up a lot of room, and people will either release them or swallow them back down. But either way, so many people think that they released them because they go back to the normal size, but they're feeling in the familiar. Energy and not the release. You'll notice a big difference when it's released, and then you don't have to deal with it in any more lifetimes. It's done.
I thought you were going to say they were going to spontaneously combust or something like that when you said they fill up. They get to that point, and I'm like, going, yeah, she's going to say they explode.
You're like, I don't want to release any.
Keeping it. I don't want any of that going on. That'd be a mess.
But yeah, so that's that's why there's been such a big push to release trauma. The last 2 years have been really hard for a lot of people, because the light, they're using solstice energy, they're using light flares, they're using, you know, sun flares, all of that stuff to zap us, to shake it loose, you know, zap us in a good way, so that we can release it. So it's been a really rough 2 years. And then we've been getting upgrades to our light body and with our gifts and clarity on the winter and summer solstice. So we just had a big shakeup with the fall solstice, and the angels said they were focusing on family, like trauma from family, from this life and past life that are coming forward for a lot of people. Or they're trying to have them release that. For some people, remembering the buried stuff is enough to release it. Others, you need to feel into it and allow it to feel without numbing it with distractions like Klonopin or drinking drugs, movies, scrolling all the time, whatever we do, overeating. We actually have to feel through it, and that's how we release it. And the progress.
So you stop dulling the. Feelings.
Yeah, because if you don't feel it, you don't release it. And well, sometimes the past life regressions too, just the act of remembering releases it for you. But okay, going back to the upgrades. So this December 21st with the winter solstice is going to be a huge upgrade for people to the light bodies. Like they're showing me it's just going to really light us up so we can hold stuff. And then on January 11th, 111, is going to be the last of the accelerated big upgrades. That's going to be a huge one for people. People are going to notice clarity. People are going to stop feeling like lost so much. Clarity is going to come to them. Your gifts are going to increase or change, or you're going to realize them for the first time. Because as our light bodies, we get those big downloads and we're full of light, we shine lighter and brighter. And that's going to be a big boost of frequency. That's why the dark is really pushing forward right now. We know they got rid of Tony Kirk. And they're working on, they're trying to bring people away from faith, from praying, away from God and Jesus. And that's one of the reasons I'm here, is to bring people back to faith, back to God, back to the teachings of Jesus, as are a lot of incarnated angels. It's our time. It's our time to help set things straight the way Jesus meant for it to be, and to help people realize that they God wants them to come to him out of love and faith, not fear.
Not out of fear, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you had mentioned a couple of different times now your regression hops is what it's actually called, correct? In your offerings. Okay. So I think a lot of people are familiar with past life regressions, and it's in a form of hypnotic state that you put the person in, and then you go through the different layers or levels, I guess you might call that, to get to a certain point. And I'm sure I'm not doing it justice. What am I missing, and would you describe that?
First of all, the angels are coming in really strong, and that's people are going to notice my face twitching more when their energy comes around me. If I seem like I'm flaky or not paying attention, they're just right here. So it kind of, their energy is just kind of, it goes back to, cause sometimes they make me look drunk, and I don't want people to think that this is Diet Pepsi.
You say so there, Chief.
So that basically it just lets your subconscious come forward. Your conscious mind goes back and your subconscious comes forward. It's not like what a lot of people think, where if I go, now bark like a dog, you're going to stop barking, it's more of just letting your subconscious come through. And how deep you go depends on the person, their trust level plays a part in it. A lot of my clients or people who have been with me for a while trust me, so they can go pretty deep with me. And or if they're used to meditating, they're used to relaxing their mind.
Right.
That plays a big part in it too. But some people remember, like when Pat put me under, Pat Longo's the one who taught me. I stayed at her house for a while and she taught me how to do that one of the trips. And like I remembered most of what I said, but I was like, I couldn't make my voice go louder, and it was like I knew what I was saying, but I wasn't controlling it. So my subconscious had come through, and she was talking to my higher self. And that's when she asked, and who's Heather's higher self? And they mentioned an angel, and they mentioned what kind of angel, a seraphim. And that's how I found out, was through Pat, what kind I am. I'd already known I was one. And she had already known. She sees a lot of angels were drawn to Pat. Earth angels and incarnated angels, which are different. Right. But your subconscious mind and you actually know, because when you did it, you didn't remember a lot of it. And I had one client. Can I tell a story?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So the angels were telling me, we just had a regular angel reading with her. I wasn't going to do the past life regression. I just started offering those on my website. So they were telling me, do it for her birthday. It's her birthday. Do it for her birthday. And I'm like, okay. So I asked if she had extra time when we were talking. And it turns out her mother died when she was really, really young. And she didn't have a lot of family, really. She was older, getting ready to retire. And so I asked her if I could do this and add my twist to it is I can take people to other dimensions, meet with loved ones, have their loved ones come through or connect them to angels and stuff. So I wanted to take her to talk to her mom as a gift for her, teach her mom's energy signature so she'd know when her mom was around. And we go to the fifth dimension. She's doing it and she sees her mom. She's answering the questions. And all of a sudden, instead of me saying, like I would ask a question, is there anything you want to tell so-and-so? And she would relay the message. All of a sudden she started talking to me as her mom. And she started talking about their childhood and all these memories. And she was telling me when my daughter was little, this was her favorite movie. This was when she started getting interested in spiritual stuff. This and gave me all these memories, like for a half hour talking to me. And then she would laugh and laugh and everything. And when I brought the client back and woke her up, I asked her, I go, did you know your mom stepped into your body and talked to me through you? And she had no memory. And I was like, so I heard that this was your favorite movie, or this is the movie that made you, start going woo woo or whatever. And she was like, I forgot about that. I haven't thought about that forever. And so she and I record these sessions. I sent the recording to her. So she got to spend her birthday listening to her mom talk to her through her Wow. Bring back all these childhood memories and reassure her moving forward, everything a mother would that she had missed. So, I mean, that doesn't happen all the time, but that was,
oh, that what was a gift, amazing. Though. Huh? What a gift that was, though. Yeah. Holy cow.
And I've had people with a dragon guide where the dragon just entered the person's body and I was talking to the dragon and the person was like moving their arms and stuff like this. And I was asking the dragon, what's going on? And the dragon's like, I'm doing that. I have to release energy. Having me in them is a lot of energy. So I can't keep them in there too long if it's a lot of energy because they start twitching and doing stuff to get the energy out when they're in that other dimension. But I don't know. It's just... It's an honor to be able to see that stuff, you know, to be able to witness that. Wow.
And I was going to ask you how yours differs from others, because I've heard of others, but then you did talk about it with the different dimensions that you're able to bring people into, which is interesting to me because I got to be Heather's first past life or regression hop.
He was my first guinea piggy.
Yes, I was. And it was really something. So that's my experiences through you. But I've read a lot of different books, like Many Lives, Many Masters, and the whole series that was written by him. And it's different. What you're talking about doing and bringing people through and having them experience is different than what I read about. So that is unique. So I can tell you, if anyone has an interest in experiencing something like that, it's wonderful. It really, truly is, because I found out, and I'll talk about this, I found out where my irrational fear of heights came from as a result of having the past life regression, because I had no reason to be afraid of heights. And I guess everybody has a respect, we can call it, but mine was literally a fear where my palms would start sweating. I would get this really uneasy feeling that would go throughout my entire body when I would look at a movie. Let's say that we were in a movie theater and somebody was on a ledge or walking across a bridge that was high in the air. I would get those feelings and I'd start wiggling in my seat and trying to get away from there. Since then, it doesn't bother me nearly as much, which you did mention where some of that clears. And I think that did, because just having an understanding of maybe why you have a fear or a phobia or what have you over something is part of that healing process or recovery process. And at least it was for me. At least it was, you know, so that's all I can attest to.
You released that cord. I just checked for the cord. You released it. So that trauma has released that trauma marble and you light can go there now when you get your upgrade.
Oh, cool. Yeah. No, thank you. Thanks for doing that. And thank you for letting me know. I have two more questions and then we'll get to the musical questions, if you're cool with that. Mm-hmm. Why are angels wanting to have relationships with humans now? Why is it so important?
Because as more people are able to see them, they want to react. They want those personal relationships with them so they can guide them and help them and be a part of it. It used to be like with the ancestors, they worked in the background and helped people in the background. But now they want more of a one-on-one relationship or, you know, a close relationship. Because when we have our contracts on the other side, we all have an angel, some more than one, that we want to work with and that want to work with us. And it used to be that for our ancestors at work, because they couldn't really communicate with them or they didn't really have the ability as well to, because everything was so, the veil was thicker due to the density. And so they would like go Archangel Michael, people would go to him when they needed protection, but they wouldn't go to him for anything, you know, for other stuff.
Right.
or they would go to Archangel Raphael for healing, but they wouldn't go to him for protection, or Michael for healing. And, you know, other same stuff with the other angels. But now the angels want you to know that you can go to who you feel close to and contracted to do all those things, because that's why they want the partnership with you. Like Archangel Raphael, Haniel, Ariel, they can all protect you just as well as Michael can. They can all offer healing. They can all listen to your stories and stuff. I mean, they do have their own personalities. Like, since I'm contracted to work with Haniel as well, if there's, if I'm having an issue of the heart or something, I might go to her because her personality is a little softer or more nurturing. I can talk to Michael too, but he's going to be more of the tough love, you know, move on, get Heather, you know, but they want that relationship with us now. So to build that connection so they can help us and guide us. And so in my book, there's a chapter on ways to start building your communication with them, depending on where you are with your gifts now and how comfortable you are talking to them.
Well, let's talk about your book then.
Okay.
So since you mentioned it, let's talk about that. So Heather has a book that is due to be released on 11. There it is. Hello, Halo. So why did you decide to write that book?
Can I say that? So it's Hello Halo, connect with the angels to strengthen your faith, expand your beliefs, and get inspired. I wrote it because the angels told me to. Because there's stuff that they want people to know. There's stuff, misconceptions about them, and they want it out there. They want to restore faith. They want to bring people back to prayer. They want to show people that finding your purpose isn't some elusive, hard thing. And I go over that in here. Your purpose is your heart's desires, and it talks about how to recognize your purpose and take pressure off it. Talks about
that's valuable, by the way,
about faith and why faith is so important right now. And talks about prayers, like prayer. So many people don't pray anymore, or they replace prayer with manifestation, and they were never supposed to be the same thing. Combine the two. Prayer, you know, one thing that's kind of the angels don't like is you see online, you see people like saying like for a certain cause, do more than offer prayers, you know, donate to this, you know, you see all that time, you'll people will say, oh, all they're doing is offering prayers, but they don't realize how powerful prayers are. And because of attitudes like that and the suppressors and people moving away, unfortunately, from faith and God and Jesus and the angels, people aren't praying as much. And for every single prayer that you send up, God reacts on your behalf. For every single prayer you ask for an angel, they react on your behalf, with Jesus as well, Mother Mary, all of them do it every single time. So if you're praying every single day for a loved one, God's sending energy and whatever you ask him to every single day. And it adds up. And I am told that if everybody were to pray for peace, there would be peace. It's that powerful. That prayer, if enough people were praying, they could raise the whole frequency of Earth, but people don't pray anymore. And the suppressors want people not to pray. And so, or people associate prayer with a religion. And Archangel Michael says, call it whatever you want. But when you're praying, you're talking to God. You're talking to the divine. Right. You can call it what you want, but don't stop talking to him because you think it's because you turn against religion. Still talk to him.
Right. And that's a very valid differentiation right there is the religion and spirituality, because a lot of religions were formed to make the congregation or the people in the community fearful. And I'm no Bible scholar, so I don't know, but I can tell you that I don't believe that that was the intention, is to be fearful. But you know what? I'm going to do some research. As a matter of fact, I have started to do some research on that. So it'll be interesting what I find. So when you had mentioned that if everybody prays, I thought you were going to say every time a person prays, an angel gets its wings, kind of like the It's a Wonderful Life thing. I was like, okay, here comes Clarence.
We're going to go.
Yes. Oh, look, an angel got his wings. Yeah. Man. So As far as you mentioned misconceptions of angels, maybe what's a common misconception that people have about angels?
The biggest is they don't incarnate on earth in human form. And it even says in the Bible, you know, I'm going to draw a blank. You know, something about entertaining strangers, you might entertain an angel or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm not a Bible guy, so I don't.
Just like I have it in the book. I have to find it because it's going to drive me crazy.
Should I tell a joke?
Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to the angels without knowing it. So angels, this kind of
you hear stories about that all the time, right? Yeah, where somebody stops on the side of the road.
Yeah, they incarnate in human form. The suppressors don't want people to think they do. That way, when people come out as an angel, we get called crazy or made fun of. But they don't want to think that God sends his angels to assist and do things that the angels cannot do in angelic form, because there's different things that we can do. So that's one misconception. Another one is that angels don't have personalities. They have personalities. Okay. Another one is that they don't have free will. They have free will in heaven and, you know, incarnating on earth. And those are the biggest.
Wow. Now, do you have a favorite chapter or topic?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me a favorite angel. I'm like, I can't answer that.
No, I bet I know, but go ahead.
Well, I like, the chapter on angels, of course. And, I think the chapter on faith and prayer is going to be really powerful for people. Those chapters, because, you know, praying takes faith in itself. When you pray, you have faith that those who you are praying to are going to hear your prayers and that they're going to react on your behalf for them. So they kind of go together. I also like the chapter on finding your purpose. I think it takes a lot of stress off people who are struggling. What's my purpose? What's my purpose? Mm-hmm. The angels break it down to, it was never meant to be hard. And it's a lot easier than you right. think. Again, the suppressors want you to think it's hard because then you feel guilt that you didn't do it. Another part in here that's one of my favorite topics that they go over is you can't disappoint God. So many people think that if you don't use your gifts the way that God wants you to, or just because you have them, you have to use them professionally. No, it's you write your own, you pick your own lessons, what you want to learn. God supports you and you get to pick how far you take it. You know, you don't disappoint him. And another one that I think is powerful is that God doesn't punish you and make you do lessons over and over.
Ha.
Yeah.
So listen to this. And it's interesting because I was going to mention this and you brought it up. Talk about synchronicities. So my mom used to say to me, it was a threat, right? I would be doing something and she goes, if you don't stop, God's going to punish you. God's going to punish you for that. And I'm like, so I would immediately stop. I didn't want to be in the doghouse or anything. You know, God's doghouse would not be a cool place to be. So yeah, that is so funny. I swear I was going to interject that my mom used to use that as a threat to punish, that God was going to punish me. Wow. So are you cool if we move along to our musical question?
Yeah.
Or questions, I should say. It's that time. All
right. I have to finish what I was saying about the not punishing, though.
And please do.
But by making you do things over and over, like if you don't learn a lesson, you know, like, why does this keep happening? Why do I keep having to experience this? You know, it's the angels say, think of it like, when you want to show your parents, you know, when you learn to ride your bike without training wheels. So you grab your siblings and your parents and you're like, watch as you go around the block. But then when everybody's watching, of course, and then you stumble and it doesn't turn out right, you know, their parents don't say, tough break, find a new hobby and walk away. They watch over and over and they give you every opportunity to show him you can do it. Yeah. And that's what God does. He gives you more opportunities to show him you can do it, that you can master that lesson that you wanted to master. So he's helping you. He's following your contract and giving you more chances to get it right. So you don't get back to heaven and say, now I have to write that into my next contract.
Yep. Sorry, I screwed that up again. Yeah. No, that's a comforting feeling.
Yeah.
To know that. there is some comfort in that. I do. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I do appreciate that. So my mom was definitely giving me the old veiled threats there.
Mine used to threaten Santa Claus.
Yeah, I got that one too. I used to get, it wasn't that I was bad necessarily. I had, you know, ADHD before ADHD was a thing, you know? Oh, it's just boys being boys. Mine was ADHD, but
yeah.
So now, musical question time?
Yes.
Well, this is the part of the show when I get a chance to ask the guests some musical questions. And I always say this, but I do believe music is the tie that binds us all together. So I'm going to start with question number one. What was the first song you fell in love with from the radio?
We Built This City. You know, We Built This City.
Yeah. Starship.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Another one was Oh Mickey.
Oh my gosh. Tony Basil?
Yeah.
Or Basil?
Something like wow. that. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
And they're catchy songs.
They are. They absolutely are, because everybody knows those songs, you know? Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say everybody.
The younger generations might not.
Yeah, they may not, but they may laugh at them. But anyway, so did your family have a song that you guys would belt out together on road trips or family vacations?
We didn't really sing together, but one that I remember my dad used to always like to sing to on road trips that came on would be like, it was like A White Sports Coat. By Martin Robbins and a
pink crustacean. Yeah. I was going to say crustacean. That's Jimmy Buffett. Yeah, that's Jimmy Buffett.
That is. You know, and they used to punish us by making us listen to Patsy Cline when we were bad in the car.
Crazy. Yes. Yeah. Well, Patsy Cline had some songs, though. So when you were a senior in high school, and you were hanging out with your friends in the car, causing trouble, even though I'm sure you didn't as a first-time incarnated angel.
I was a good girl, yeah.
I'm sure. I don't doubt that. But did you guys have a song that was playing and you'd roll down the radio, roll down the windows and just like scream?
I just draw a blank when thinking about that. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll come up with one then, and you're just going to be stuck with it.
Okay, how's that works. Yeah.
What's a song that you like to listen to get hyped, your positive juices flowing?
Africa by Toto.
Toto, okay. they're an interesting band, for sure. And I think that's a song that they're most well known for, you know, releasing is Toto. I remember when that came out.
Yeah. I like to start my exercising to that song because it gets me going.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I like that. What's a song that might be, let's call it a guilty pleasure song, one that you don't want anybody to see on your playlist or listen to?
I have Christmas songs all year round.
All right.
Because I love Christmas.
Why am I not surprised by that?
Hey, angels love Christmas too, you know.
Sure. Hey, why not? Right? Why not? Do you have a favorite Christmas song?
The ones that this morning while I was getting ready, I was listening to The Little Drummer Boy by Bing Crosby.
Oh, wow. Oh, he was the master of that song.
Yep. And I also really like Mary, Did You Know, Carrie Underwood version. That always gets me emotional. And of course, Joy to the World, because I talk about angels.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Angels upon high. Yes. Yeah. So this is, I'm going to go with my favorite question for you.
Okay.
And then we'll wrap up the show. Sometimes there are songs that you hear that ring so true that they can stop you in your tracks. The song's lyrics sound like they were either written specifically for you or by you? What's that song?
For me right now, it's She Talks to Angels by Black Crow.
Yeah. Talk about an interesting band. And that song is magnificent. Especially, it starts out, she never mentions the words addiction in certain company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, wow. They tell you she's an orphan after you meet her family. So, yeah.
I talk about addiction and spiritually gifted people in Hello Halo, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't wait. I can't wait. Well, I'm going to have to wait, but can you pre-order it yet? Or
pre-order, just I'm going to be posting the link in a post later today, and then it comes out on 11/11.
How perfect is that? How perfect is that? So are you going to do a book signing, or do you have something scheduled?
The book signing, I'm hoping that it's going to be possibly November 16th. I'm waiting to hear back from the lady who owns the boutique. But it's going to be at C'est La Vie and Cold Springs Harbor.
Thank you for sharing that. I definitely appreciate you doing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode, but don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I'd also like to take a moment to thank everyone again for tuning in today, and I hope you really enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I'd also like to thank our very special guest, Ms. Heather Sprigg, for joining us. Heather, how can people get in touch with you to schedule a session or one of your regression hops?
They can go to my website at heathersprigg.com or
two G's, by the way, SPRIGG.com.
Yeah. And then, or email me at heathersprigg111@gmail.com. Or you can find me on social media too.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that I include your social media in the show notes, as well as a link. Hopefully you'll have a link that I can have to the pre-sale for your book as well, and your website. So we'll have all that, as well as your email. I'll have every way that a person can get in touch with you listed on the show notes. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of our show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstott wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist for your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time. Bye. All right.